Well, it's on to a new year, a new beginning. Every August, as you know, I take a study break where I'm not writing sermons, but I go and I plan, and I usually begin with a blank sheet of paper. It's got 52 lines on it. And I usually go somewhere alone. All I have is this sheet of paper and a Bible and a pen. And I just pray, and I seek God's will and direction for you and for this church. I start writing stuff off. First of all, it's like chicken scratch. You can't really read it. And then it goes into what's called a draft, and then it eventually takes shape, and then we print it out, and I share it with the staff when I come back from August break in September. And then the staff has 3 months to prepare their ministries, so we're all on the same page starting here in 2018. And today, I want to share with you as our church family, and you are my family, amen. We are all a family here, and it's like a train that's getting ready to leave the train station. I think it's beneficial for you to know where the train is headed. Amen? So moving forward, a new beginning, a fresh start on this year, there are several things when I was sitting there praying and thinking about our church and where we are, where we need to go, and where our country is. My heart was moved by several factors. Number one, our country is divided. We are divided politically. We have a president that some people absolutely love and some people absolutely detest. And we have people on both sides of the political aisle that are consumed with hatred and bitterness towards the people on the other side of the aisle. We are a country that is divided racially. Now, right now, like this week, there's a season of calm, this very moment. But and the underpinnings, it's like kindling wood soaked with lighter fluid. And this is my own opinion. Sometimes I feel like we're one spark away from another civil war in this country. Our country is morally bankrupt. We are no longer one nation under God. We are now one nation over God. We've shoved God to the side. The Bible is no longer a divine book of unwavering truth, an unwavering doctrine. It is now basically a book that is unread, unfollowed, undesirable, and unused in this country. We would rather create our own religion built upon our own opinions and our own preferences. We certainly don't need God to tell us what to do. We kind of go our own way, and we tell God what we think he should be doing. And we as Christians, the church, we are conforming to this world as opposed to living our lives not of this world. I see a real danger, not just in our country, but I see a real danger in Christians, those of us who call ourselves Christians, the church. We look and act so much like the world that the line of demarcation is undetectable and unnoticeable. We have compromised the purity of our calling. We have compromised the holiness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have compromised the sacredness of the scriptures. We justify sin. We justify sin. When the Bible says we should be fleeing from sin. We act like the world, we dress like the world, we talk like the world, we curse like the world, we club like the world, we drink like the world, we think like the world, we post like the world. Our focus, instead of being on the things of God, are now on the things of this world. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says this very clearly. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. And if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And verse 17 says this, and this is kind of where the theme comes from. Stay with me. The world and its desires, this world and its desires, the Bible says will one day pass away. But the man who does the what? The man who does what? The man who does what? Here's what the Bible says. The man who does the will of God. Instead of chasing after this world and the world's system, if you will, the man who does the will of God, what happens to that man? The Bible says he lives what? He lives what? He lives forever. And forever is a long time. You see, you're on this earth right now. We're all on this earth right now. Praise God for gravity. You live on this earth. You eat, breathe, you sleep. You live on this earth. But your home is in heaven. And here's the problem, is that we focus on things that are temporary when our eyes and our focus should be on that which is eternal. And so this year, the theme is to try to get your eyes and your attention and your focus off of the things of this world and try to get your eyes and your attention and your focus on things that are eternal. And for an added twist, for an added emphasis, the theme for this year is the certainty of eternity. I want you to say that. The certainty of eternity. And you will see this logo all the whole year long. We created this logo. We actually created this logo. You can see the C and the E, the certainty of eternity. And every time you see that, I want you to be reminded of the fact that our eyes are to be focused on things that are eternal. The theme verse is Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, which we'll have a whole sermon on this later on in the year, where the Solomon, the writer of Ecclesiastes, says that he, God, has also set eternity into the hearts of men. Now, we keep ourselves busy so that we don't think about that, but in your heart and in my heart, I don't care where you are, who you are, where you live, what you do, if you're saved or unsaved, God has set something in your heart. You had no control over it. God put it in there. This feeling or this belief of a place called eternity. And even the people who say there is no God and there is no such thing as eternity, even though they say that deep inside, God has set it in their heart as well. There's a bird called the bar-tailed godwit. The bar-tailed godwit. It's kind of a cute little bird, isn't it? This bird grows up in Alaska. They're born in Alaska. And every single year in the fall, they fly 7,000 miles from Alaska all the way to New Zealand. 7,000 miles. And the thing about this bird, listen carefully, these are land birds. In other words, they can't fish or rest at sea. They can't stop and get some food in the sea and sit around and wait and get their strength up to take off. We actually have records of these birds that have left Alaska and flown nonstop all the way to, in 8 days, from Alaska to New Zealand. Now, here's the thing. These little birds, these bar-tailed godwit birds, they're born in Alaska. So you have these little birds that grow up there. They've never been in the Southern Hemisphere. They don't have Google Maps. They don't have Expedia. They leave Alaska and somehow they get to New Zealand. And you say, how is that possible? Because God put it inside of that little bird, a homing device that's just within them. They got to get to New Zealand. And don't you wish you could fly to New Zealand like that? But in that exact same way that God put it inside that bird, God put it inside the heart of every single person in here. Even though you try to deny God and fight God, there's something in your heart that says there's more to life than just this life. And there is a place of eternity, a place called heaven. Now, because here's the plan. Now, stay with me, okay? And I know this. I hope you stay with me on this. But by focusing on heaven, eternity, four things happen. And these are, they progress. And I don't want to just get up here and say this and then you leave. I want you to try to memorize, write these things down. I want you throughout the course of the year, when you think of eternity, these four things, there are four progressions. You get step one, then it goes to step two, then step three, then step four, all right? One's built upon the other. Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you with me? Because I don't have much time. Here's the first, when you think about eternity, if you can understand eternity, if you can put your mind around eternity, first thing it does, it gives you proper perspective. Puts everything in proper perspective. James 4:4 says, life is but a vapor. I want you to think about that verse. Life is but a vapor. What does that mean, life is but a vapor? Life is but a vapor. What does that mean? That means that you're here on this earth just for a few seconds. You blow vapor, you're here, you're gone. And then you're where? You're in eternity. A man went in to get a checkup, and he had the test. He came back to get the result. The doctor said, you better sit down. He said, I got some bad news, and I got some worse news. And he goes, which do you want to hear first? And he goes, well, I suppose the bad news. And so the doctor says, here's the bad news. You've only got 24 hours to live. The guy goes, what? He goes, you've only got 24 hours to live. 24 hours? That's all? He goes, that's it. You're dead in 24 hours. And the man gets up and he starts walking back and forth frantically. He goes, 24 hours? That's all I got to live. I don't know how I'm going to get my house in order in just 24 hours. Well, what am I going to do? And then he goes, you said there's worse news. What's worse news than that? The doctor said, I was supposed to tell you yesterday. Life is but a vapor, and then you have eternity. And the mindset gives you perspective. Instead, now stay with me. Instead of, if you understand you're going to live forever in heaven, then you're not, instead of being fixated on your daily struggles and your difficult relationships in this earth, instead of being fixated on your downtrodden bank account, instead of being fixated on your anxiety over all your problems, instead, move your eyes off of the temporary and move them onto the eternal. It changes your perspective on everything on this life. Many of you, it's like that picture of the tree. You can't see the forest because the tree. You can't see the forest of the eternal because all you can focus, all you're focusing on is the tree of the temporary. Kyle Welch reminded me that in every movie, doesn't matter what the movie, every movie has three acts. Act number one, we meet the main characters. You meet the hero and you meet the villain. Act number two, the villain gets upper hand on the hero. Always takes place. Act number three, the hero defeats the villain and rides off into the sunset. Every movie has those same three acts. And most of us live in the second act. We know who the players are, and it seems like the villain is about to defeat us, and we end up having no joy and no hope in this world. But the third act is coming. Jesus is coming. Eternity is just around the corner. The Savior is coming, Maranatha. Let's focus our eyes on Jesus, the Son of God, who will return a second time and take his church to be with him in heaven for all of eternity. Amen. Now, here's the second thing. Once you have a proper perspective, it then leads you to, you're able then to set your priorities. You see the progression? If you have a wrong perspective, you have wrong priorities. I guarantee you that that's true. If you have the wrong perspective, you have the wrong priorities. If you have the correct perspective, then you have correct, you can set your correct priorities. Matthew 24, verse 44 says, so you also must be ready because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Now, if you understand that one day Jesus Christ is coming back and you understand the Bible says you must be ready because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. He's coming back when you do not expect him. Well, if I have this proper perspective, then I'm able to set my priorities. I want to be ready. It says you must be ready because the Son of Man will come at an hour that you do not expect him. And it's just that idea of having, if you understand this eternal perspective, it helps you set your priorities. Colossians says in chapter 3 that you are to set your hearts on things above and set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Those are priorities. Set your heart, fix, focus, pay attention, zero in on things above where Christ is seated. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. It causes you to set your priorities. Do not waste your time on earthly matters. Set your hearts and minds on things above. So you have perspective, leads to proper priorities, and then you understand your purpose. You see, once you have that perspective and you've set your priorities, now you know what your purpose is. Matthew 6:33 says that you are to seek first. Everybody say first. It doesn't say second. It doesn't say third. It doesn't say fourth. It doesn't say fifth. It says seek first. Seek first what? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. From a very young age in my life, I was probably 8 years old, God put it in my heart that we do not live forever. I knew that as a little boy. And so I made a commitment to serve him with all of my heart. The thought of eternity caused me to set my priorities at a very young age. When I was in junior high school and in high school, I served the Lord with all of my heart. I don't know if I've ever told you this, but even when I was in high school, I had a notebook. I still have it in my office. I can show it to you. I have a notebook of all the kids in my high school that I led to Jesus Christ. I have their names. I have the names of the players on my basketball team. I went to a public high school, not a Christian high school. Went to the largest high school in the state of Kansas. It was a very secular, worldly school. But I had this perspective and I had my priorities straight. So even though I'm in school, I was trying to lead kids to the Lord. And I have this, I can show you, there's dozens of names. I still know every person on that list of fellow basketball players that I played basketball with, young people who I was able to lead to the Lord. Many of them went to Bible college. Some of them are still preaching today. And I say that all just to say this, just to prove a point, that the thought of eternity and the proper perspective gives you priorities, which then led me to my purpose. I knew I needed to become a minister. I wanted to be a pastor. I was sold out for Jesus Christ. Do you see the progression? Now, here's a good question, everybody say great question. When you pray, think about this. How many of you pray? Now think about this. When you pray, think about all the things you're praying about. Are all those things you're praying about for you? Or when you're praying, if you pay attention, are all the things on your prayer list for other people? When you post on Instagram or Facebook, is it about you? Or is it about the kingdom of God? When you make money, nothing wrong with money. It's the love of money is what's wrong. But when you make money, is that money all about you and your family and your house? Or is that money about the kingdom of God, his world? When you complain, are you complaining about how somebody mistreated you? Or are you complaining and heartbroken over the spiritual condition of our world, over the spiritual condition of our land, over the spiritual condition of our city? See, once you have a proper perspective, it leads you to having the proper priorities, which then give you a proper purpose. You now know why you're here, which is the fourth thing. Write this down. Then you come up with a plan. You can't do any of that until you focus on eternity. Quickly, Jonah chapter 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah and said what to Jonah? Go. Everybody say great city. Say it again. Go to the great city of Nineveh. That's the plan. Now, what did Jonah do initially? He ran away. Now, why did Jonah run away from God's plan? Because he didn't have this proper perspective. Jonah did not look at Nineveh the way God looked at Nineveh. God saw Nineveh as people who need the Lord. Jonah didn't want to preach. He didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. So he runs the other way, and he gets swallowed up by a whale for 3 days, middle of the ocean in a well. It's not a fun place to be. You're better off just saying yes and doing what God wants, and God will provide for you in his request. Amen. But the point is, Jonah did not have that eternal perspective, and so he had his wrong priorities, he did not have his purpose, and he did not go along with the plan. Until after the well, then he went to Nineveh and he started preaching. Can everybody say amen? So here's our plan for our church for the next 12 months. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you can't write all this down because it's too much, and I'm going to go through this quickly because I only have a little bit of time, and there's something else I want to tell you. So, just write a couple of words down and try not to write everything down, and we'll This is what's on that blank sheet of paper, okay? So January, everybody say January. I'm here to introduce the theme to you, which I'm trying to do. I don't know if you're understanding it clearly, but I'm trying to explain it to you. Next week, we're going to have a sermon called Three Things That Are Eternal, Three Things That Last Forever. The next week, we're going to have a sermon called 3 Seconds After You Die. Some things happen 3 seconds after you die. And we're going to have a sermon on what happens 3 seconds after you die. February, we're going to have a series called Treasures in Heaven. Because there is nothing that reveals your priority more than the issue of stewardship of the things that God has placed in your hands. February and March, leading up to Easter, we're going to have a series called The Great I Ams. And there are 7 of them, and we're going to go through the book of John. All right? So bring your Bibles. We're going through the Gospel of John. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine, and I am the resurrection. We'll talk about that on resurrection morning, okay? You with me on that? April 7th and 8th, the Sunday after Easter, the Wednesday after Easter, is the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And I've been asked by so many people to go to Memphis and to do stuff back there where he was assassinated. But I've told them I can't do that. I can go and I can come back to the church and I can say, hey, I went there. Or I can be here and the Sunday after, we're going to have a special dedicated to the meaning of I have a dream speech. And we're going to talk about racial diversity and justice. And I said, I need to lead my church in what the purpose and what he stood for, racial equality in his country. That's where I need to be the Sunday after Easter. So you need to be here the Sunday after Easter, amen? It's the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King. It's been 50 years. And then we're going to have a sermon on the book of Ecclesiastes. After that, myself and 160 people in the church, we're going to Israel. We have 160 people signed up. And I've invited Jeff Walling, who preached last week. If you missed the sermon, you need to hear it, The Buckets of Hope. He's going to do a 3-week series through the book of Song of Solomon called Eternal Love. And many of you don't know this, but one of Jeff's forte is speaking on marriage. And you've all heard him preach, right? He's like off the chart, amen? So he's going to be doing a 3-week series going through the book of Song of Solomon. So we're going through the book of John. We're going through the book of Song of Solomon. And then after that, May and June, we're going to do about a 6-week series. I've got a brand new book coming out called Compelled to Tell. I'm compelled to tell. I can't help but tell you. I'm literally compelled to tell you about Jesus Christ. And so we're going to do a 6-week series just talking about evangelism and sharing your faith and reaching the lost people of your neighborhood, the lost people in your family, and the lost people in this city. Followed by that, in July and August, we're going to do a series on the kingdom of God. And we're going to go through the book of Matthew. And we're going to have a sermon on the wheat and the tares, the pearl of a great price, the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the wedding banquet, the sheep and the goats, and the parable of the 10 virgins. And all of that is talking about the kingdom of God. It all goes along with our theme of eternity. August and September, when I come back from my August break, we're going to do a series on the Lord's Prayer, which is in Matthew 6. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is where? In heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In October, we're going to do a series called 1 Month to Live, and we're going to go through the book of Philippians. And we're going to have you ask yourself this question: what if this was the last month of your life? How would you live different if you knew you only had 30 days to live? You would love completely, you would learn humbly, you would live passionately, and you would lend generously if you knew you only had 30 days left to live. Then November is kind of the heart and soul of what we're ramping up towards. We're going to have a series called The Harvest is Plentiful. And I know this sounds strange, but we're going to have some guest speakers. And I'm going to have a guest speaker, and his job is to try to convince you to go to Bible college. Not all of you, but those of you that have run from that. We're going to have a message just dealing with missions. We're going to deal with mega cities, and we're going to do a thing on church planting. I hope to take another offering in November that goes towards planting churches around the world. Now, Jonah, in that book, I want you to see this, and stay with me because I got some very important things to tell you. Well, let me tell you this first of all. Out in the counter, if you notice your sermon notes, they have the three little holes, and we do this, a lot of you don't know this, but we provide, I think they cost $5, I think, but they're three-ring binders, and you can keep all your notes for every year. That's why those little holes are in that outline, is for you to keep your notes week in and week out, and you can have this every year. You can go back and look at all your sermon notes, amen? And that's either out at the Call on Jesus or Lift Up Jesus table, or the information counter after church. But I want you to look at this verse in Jonah chapter 4, verse 11. Nineveh, everybody say Nineveh, has more than 120,000 people. This is where God called Jonah to go to Nineveh. At the time, it was one of the largest cities in the world. And God said, this city is full of people who can't tell their right hand from their left. What does he mean by that? That means that they are confused spiritually about the things of God. The 120,000 people, they're all confused. There's a lot of cattle. What does that mean? Huh? Back then, it was a wealthy city. And then he said these words, should I not be concerned about that great city? How many people in that city? Should I not be concerned about that great city? If God is concerned about a city that had 120,000 people in it, what do you think God thinks about this city that has 8 million people in it? If God is concerned about a city that has 120,000 people in it, what do you think God is concerned about a earth, a planet that has 8 billion people on it? Half the world today lives in urban areas. The United States of America, we have 10 cities that have over 1 million people population. China has 160 cities over 1 million. Mega cities. That's our focus this year, is on mega cities. A mega city is a city that has 10 million people who live in that metroplex. And currently today, there are 37 cities around the world that have over 10 million people. Inside your bulletin, I want you to grab it. There's a list. And what I did is I went to our missions department. Everybody say missions department. And last year we gave $1.2 million to missions. We take 10% of everything we get. We take 10% and we set that aside and we give that to worldwide missions. And this year we took up an additional $500,000. So it was almost close to $2 million. And I told you this when we built this building. I said, we give about $1 million a year. One day we'll give $3 million a year. And some of you didn't believe me. And that's where we're headed, amen? So what I've asked the mission committee to do is come up with a list of the top 30. These are all megacities. These are the 30 largest cities in the world. And our focus, and I said to them, I shared with them this theme, and I said, what I want you to do is to come up with a plan for our church. This is big news. We're at the end of the year, because we're at the start of the year. But at the end of the year, I want our church, Agua Dulce, West Valley, West LA, Porter Ranch. When we look back on this year, I want our church, and I use the word tangible, I want us to have, in a tangible way, had some effect and influence for Christ in all 30 of these cities. From this church right here, you sitting in your chair, instead of being consumed with everything in this world, physically, that's temporary. I want you to be consumed with doing something spiritually in these 30 cities around the world. And at the end of this year, if you stay with us, you come every week, you bring your folder, take notes, put them in there, pay attention. Don't go, I don't think I'm going to go to church today. No, you're here. And you don't leave early. Okay? And at the end of the year, when you look back, you're going to be able to see, if you're here, where this church has visibly touched these 30 cities. When you leave today, and ushers, if anybody leaves early, you don't give them one. You hear me? Ushers, do you hear me? When you leave today, you're going to be given a packet. Inside that packet is a bracelet. I'm wearing one right now. And on this bracelet, it has one of the 30 cities. You're going to get one. It's not random. God's going to put it in your hands. When you get your bracelet, I'm wearing mine, I wore it all day today. And it says on the outside, it has a shepherd logo, and it says the certainty of eternity, Ecclesiastes 3:11, God has set it on the hearts of men, eternity. And you're going to have the name of the city. Los Angeles is one of the 30. On the inside of the band, we've also put pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing, pray without ceasing. Just keep reading it, pray without ceasing. Now, once you get your bracelet, there's a little card in here. You go and you register your bracelet at 30cities.com. And when you register your city, what that's going to do, all the people who get that city, you will get updates from our church on what we're doing in that city, how you can be involved. Some of these cities, we're going to be providing Bibles. We're going to be doing projects. We're going to be doing missions trips. There'll be all kinds of ways that you can be involved in that city, and we'll be sending you updates throughout the entire year. And what we want you to do is begin to pray. And we've set up on that website a 24-hour, 7 days a week, 365 days of this year. We want you to sign up for 30-minute windows of time where you get down on your knees and your face before God and you begin to pray for the people who live in that city. Okay, sorry. I can't help myself sometimes, amen. And so, does that make sense to everybody? As we conclude, I want to show you a couple Bible verses and we'll sing the invitation. Psalm 102. In the beginning, everybody say in the beginning. Where have you heard those words? Genesis what? Genesis 1, verse 1. Okay. They're also found in Psalm 102. Pay attention. In the beginning, you laid the foundations of this earth. And the heavens are the work of your what? All the stars, the sun, the moon, it's just like, it's like you playing with putty. You ever play with putty? You ever made a snowball? You ever just played with spaghetti? The heavens and the earth, when you look up and you see all that, that's just God's handiwork. The sun, the moon, the stars. Verse 26 says, now pay attention, they will what? Perish. I read this week that the sun, scientists believe that it only has enough hydrogen to last, don't laugh at this, for 10 billion years. And then it will burn out. It's already burned, they believe, for 5 billion years. Whether it's true or not, that's what they say. They don't really know. They can't really get close enough to know anything. But they believe that the sun has burned half of its life. It's burned for 5, it's only got 5 left. They also believe that after it burns 1 more billion years, that by that time, the earth will have been sucked in and be completely gone, completely burned. But this says, the heavens, the sun, the moon, they will perish. But you, O God, will what? Amen. They, the planets, They wear out like a garment, like a pair of old socks. You ever have a pair of socks that a bunch of holes? Maybe I don't want to say underwear, but it just wears out. A pair of shoes just wears out. It says the heavens will wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them and they will just be discarded. But you remain the same and your years never end. I want you to start thinking about eternity. It will set your proper perspective. It will give you your set of priorities. You will then know your purpose, and then you will come up with a plan to make a difference in this world. Let's stand and bow our heads for just a word of prayer. Father, bless this invitation and bless people on every campus. And give us this mindset, God, that this world and everything in it is temporary. And give us a vision and a focus to see that which is eternal. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, are you excited about all that? It's a lot. I got to tell you one more thing, and we're going to sing. But when I was working on this theme and God kept putting eternity, one of the things, one of the key factors for me is seeing the health of my dad deteriorate. And my children, my three children, both sets of their grandparents are alive. My mom and dad are in their 80s, and my wife's mom and dad, they are in their 80s, and they are in bad health too. And as I was going through all this, and you know, it's like this theme, God was impressing upon me, just looking at my parents and my wife's parents, that They don't have long on this earth. They don't have long on this earth. And my wife's going to go through a lot of heartache, and my wife is going to go through a lot of heartache, and my children are going to go through a lot of heartache as those parents, those grandparents, pass from this life into the next. And then, of course, I became a grandparent, so I'm next. Right? Are you with me? And you see, the most important thing for you today is to realize in your life that life is short. It's but a vapor. You only have, I know this is crazy for some of you, you only have a couple of chances to accept Jesus Christ. You've only got a few, compared to eternity. And yes, we're going to be praying for these 30 cities. And we're going to have a prayer walk. We'll have signs. We're going to change the pillars out there. You're going to have all the cities and everything. But all of that really is important, but it's equally as important for you to give your life to Christ. If you're here today and you've never become a Christian, you've never sold out to Jesus Christ, your priorities are not set on the things of God because you don't have that eternal perspective. What a great way to begin this year by coming down here and saying, hey, from now on, God, God's kingdom, the church, the Bible, focus on the things of God. This is going to be my priority in my life and not the things of this world. You could come today and make that decision. If you've never been baptized, you could come and be the first people of this new year to fully surrender your life to Jesus Christ, to be obedient in Christian baptism. Whatever on your heart, if you're just here and you have a heavy heart and you need someone to pray with you, we invite you to come. We'll pray with you. You come right now as we sing. Just step out and come to the front as we sing.